Welcome to the Arkansas Baptist Women Podcast. On this season, we will talk about the beauty of belonging to a gospel-centered, like-minded community that shapes and encourages us to love God and to be present in our calling.
We are excited to sit down with different women from all stages of life and hear what God is doing in their life in an area of ministry that God has called them to. Join us as we find encouragement in the work and presence of God as He is reflected through casual conversation around coffee and authenticity.
Hey guys, it is Morgan Fulcher, and I am here with our co-host, Hannah Gane.
Hey guys.
Hey, and today we get to sit down with Hannah Zirbel.
Woohoo!
Yay, welcome.
Thank you.
So glad
you're here. Me too.
So glad. Hannah is a wife. She is in full-time ministry as the college minister in Conway at Woodland Heights Baptist Church. She loves Jesus. She loves the outdoors. She loves to run. She loves...
A new thing for me.
Yes. You love animals?
Yes.
All animals? You love to travel?
I do.
And you truly do just love life.
Yes.
You enjoy life. And I think that as we sit on today and as we get to glean into your life and just ministry, you guys are going to get to hear that, and it's going to be a joy. So as we jump in, actually, they don't know I'm going to ask this, but I thought, why? We should get to know each other. Do you like coffee?
Love it. Okay. I love girl coffee. If that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
Explain to all of the ladies on the podcast what girl coffee is.
Like, not black coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me the sugar. Give me the cream. Like, take me to a coffee shop. Give me that coffee.
Do you have, like, the same go-to order at every coffee shop, or do you do something different at different ones?
I have something different at every different coffee shop I
go
to. Yeah. Coffee shop I go to. Yeah, because... in my opinion, they're all different.
Yes.
Shout out Round Mount in Conway. It's the best.
Never been there.
Have
you?
Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, I have.
Yes.
I have been there.
Yeah. Okay, so hot coffee, iced coffee.
That is good. I'm very much the person iced coffee in the summer, hot coffee in the winter.
Okay.
But in my house, when I make it, it's always hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like just like your own pot
of
coffee.
Mm-hmm. So. Hannah?
I am a hot coffee, like, in the morning when I'm doing my quiet times, but anytime after that, no matter the season, cold, like, iced always, like.
Which is the new thing, because when I go to coffee shops, it'll be 23 degrees outside, and if I don't clarify that I want it hot, they will give it to me iced, because they just assume everyone wants it iced,
really?
And I'm like, I don't.
Yes.
Warm my hands, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, like, it's happened multiple times in Conway.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know.
I mean, I like it. I drink it, but.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Any form.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Because I've always been just hot, but recently I started drinking the iced coffee.
Mm.
I like it, but I do miss the hot cup,
mm-hmm.
You know.
It's cozy. Nice to
hold. It's cozy. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right, Hannah. Tell us about your life. Tell us about your family. Tell us about your work. Tell us about you.
Okay, well, I'm Hannah, and I have been married to Zach Zirbel. This August will be 11 years.
That's
so
crazy.
It is actually crazy.
Wait, did you get married in 2014?
I sure did.
What month?
August. August 2nd.
Okay, you got us beat by 2 months. We got Woo-hoo! Married in October.
Yeah, get behind me, Lisa. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I think it's a feat of God, honestly. I'm not going to get into details, but we had a very difficult marriage the first half. but like, the Lord has been so good. It's
That's
like
cool.
Now, I told someone the other day, I think it'll be okay to say this. Zach and I talk about it publicly pretty regularly. But like, it's just in the last 2 years, I feel like we've actually started like, loving each other in like a we're actually happy to do these things together kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been really, really sweet. But yeah, so we've been married that long. I work at Woodland Heights. I'm the college minister there. I will be 5 years. So this August, I'll be starting my sixth year doing college ministry there,
cool.
Which is really cool. And I love what I do. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
love it. And it's sometimes hard for me, I don't know if y'all ever do this, but like to separate like work and home life because it's so integrated, especially
yeah.
working at a church. Like I love church. I love the local church. I'm a product of church community and pouring into me. And so my life really centers around like family and church
mm-hmm.
in that way. But I mean, I'm trying to think of what to tell you about my life. I can't think of anything. I'm like, that's pretty much it, honestly. Yeah. And like, I really enjoy people. So I try to spend my time around people, honestly. Like even last night, I got to go to a dinner of like staff wives and women who work at the church. We have a dinner once a month together. Mm-hmm. And so even like that is so refreshing to me. Yeah. And like anything that I could do like that. I mean, Zach and I, he is not as much of a people person.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. So if there's like a level from introvert to extrovert, I am on the extreme extrovert side. Like I can overwhelm people pretty easily. I know this. Like I've had literally college students who've come to me and said, yeah, when I first met you, I was like, whoa. But then I learned to love you. And I was like, yes, you know. But Zach is extreme the other way. Mm. Like very quiet, very mild, well, mild in his own way. And then loves alone time. Mm-hmm. Like thrives when he can get alone time. And he's a teacher, which is hilarious. So he's around kids all the time. He teaches biology in Valonia. He loves it. He's excellent at it. I have him quiz me regularly. I'm like smarter than a fifth grader, but it's a 10th grader. I lose every time. So, but yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's so fun. Right? As we're kind of jumping into this, want to just continue to get to know you and just the season that the Lord has you in. So what is the Lord teaching you right now?
This is hilarious. You're asked. When I saw this, I said, I've been sharing this with everyone I know. So anyone who has talked to me recently, you've probably already heard this. But I have been learning a lot about loving other people well. And so it started... Gosh, I'm going to get this so wrong. In 1 Peter or 2 Peter, I don't remember exactly. But just about, like, forgiving, like, love covers a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. And then it led me, I've been reading through Galatians recently, like, a couple of times reading it over. And it talks about how you, like, carry each other's burdens. Yeah. Like, bear one another's burdens and what that looks like. And I read, I don't know if y'all are familiar with, like, the Enduring Word commentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, that is my, like, I'll study, I'll read the word, I'll, like process and try to pray through my, use other scripture, but then that tends to be the first thing I go to, like, outside of just the Bible itself, because he words it in such a good way, and he just gives quotes of other commentaries. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a lot of his own words allotted, so, or whoever does that, honestly. But it talked about how bearing someone else's burdens, bearing one another's burdens, is one of the most loving things you can do for someone. When the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself, this is, should be at the top of the list, and that it goes above and beyond. And that was really convicting to me, because if I'm being honest, this last school year, I've had a lot of personal struggles, and it's honestly just been really difficult. And you know, like, when you're going through something, to go out and still do ministry, like, and try to keep your eyes on Jesus and not on you. Like, honestly, it's just hard. I felt like there was this constant battle of, like, thinking about me and my struggles, but then also trying to, like, give it to the Lord, be there for people. And honestly, I did a really poor job of it, I think. There were moments I felt overwhelmed when people would bring stuff to me, because I was like, how can I handle this? Like, I've got my own issues, which is so selfish. And, like, I hate that that's where I was, but how good is God to, like, correct me and point me in scripture to show me. And so just thinking about, it's not about me having community so you can bear my burdens. That is a perk. But I'm here in this community to help bear your burdens. And not necessarily in the way, like, obviously Christ bears our burdens and he, like, died on the cross to take our burdens away. And, like, he's the only one who can change it. But to walk into someone else's life and hurt and issues and be there with them and walk with them, like, I have to make time for that. And I think that was really good for me, because I tend to be a person who seeks fun in everything. Like, I'm a classic avoider, you know. I'm like, let's go party, let's do anything that brings, like, joy in the moment, which is good, except that's not always life, you know. That's not how it works. And so I found myself this last year maybe avoiding other people's problems. And the Lord has just wrecked me in the last month about that and how that is not how I'm called to live as a Christian. Like, I have to walk into other people's dark spaces and, like, be there for them, encourage them, and point them to Christ. And so, really, that's what he's been teaching me. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are your daily and weekly rhythms with the Lord right now, too?
Gosh, that is so funny. So it's summertime, officially for college at least, yes. And it has been for a couple of weeks. And I'll be the first to admit, it is a struggle for me as soon as summer hits because I don't, like, have to schedule things in.
Yeah.
I should. Like, I own. But
it's different, especially with college students. Like, they're a little bit more free. They have classes maybe or work, but it's just different than the school year.
Yes. And so it's really nice because I have more time to do it. And I caught myself last week. I was like, I've been in the Word every day. But I caught myself last week saying, but I haven't been as intentional as my time right now actually allows me to be. And I was like, man. And so the last few days I've actually been trying. I naturally am not a morning person. Like I'm a morning person once I've showered. But that time in between there, like, no, I'm not. But I'm trying to really savor this moment or this actually till Wednesday. Tomorrow is the last day I get this. My husband gets summer on Thursday, and I love him, but I am used to the house to myself in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And it takes me a whole month to adjust to him being there. He is a morning person. He's, like, trying to talk to me and get stuff done, and I'm like, can you go outside for a little bit? You know? we know this. So, like, the last couple of days, I was like, you know, I'm not going to have this, like, the way that, like, I really like. So I've been, as soon as I get up in the morning, I shower, get ready, and then I try to sit down and spend time with the Lord. And, you know, you brought up running. That's funny. I'm actually not a runner. I'm a slow jogger.
That is considered running to me.
Me too.
If I am on a jog. And, you're going out every day and trying. Yes. Like,
you've got tennis shoes on. You're not flip-flops.
These are my people. Let's go. Okay. And so, like, even then, like, I will start it in prayer or listening to worship music. Sometimes a little bit of both. Like, there are two songs that I'm really into right now, and it's This Is How I Thank the Lord. Mm-hmm. That one literally could make me cry just listening. And then there's another one. Gosh, I'm going to get the words wrong. I couldn't tell you who sings it. I don't even know the title. But basically, it's all about, if my life could tell a story. No, that's not it. But it's about my testimony. Basically, she's like, at the end of my days, let my children tell their children that I love the Lord, that my joy came from the Lord. And it's just like a really sweet testament of what she wants her life. Like, I want to honor Jesus. I want that to be what's known. So, like, I tend to listen to those and, like, pray that prayer, basically, which has been really good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so tell us about a mentor in your life that has had an impact on you. What has shaped or who has deposited little investments over time to you?
Yes. You know, I was thinking about this, and it's so hard because I think I was telling you earlier that I am a product of Christian community. And so I was really fortunate to be raised in a Christian home and to even, like, give my life to the Lord at an early age. But my parents divorced, and, you know, that comes with its own thing. But I was raised in a church who really, like, took me under. My mom was hit or miss in church, and my dad was very active in his faith. He's, like, a pillar, but he was sometimes lived in a different state, you know, whatever. And so I could think of so many people throughout my life growing up. Like, one of my best friend's moms growing up really gave me an example of, like, what a woman should be. I had two incredible youth pastors, honestly, growing up, who really, like, instilled scripture, but, like, how to have fun and love Jesus. Like, they really taught me how to do that. Even in college, I love this. The church I grew up, I never sat alone. There were some Sunday nights I was dropped, Sunday night church. I'm like, Mom, drop me off. Who did that? Me. And so, but I would walk in and I'd sit by myself, and whole families would get up and come sit with me. Different family. Like, I am so fortunate in the church I grew up. It was Second Baptist Russellville. Love them. Yeah. And then into college, honestly, I made some dumb mistakes. A mentor then was named Shelby. And I've talked about her before, honestly, I think, in different realms, but she knew everything I was involved in my freshman year, and I was dumb, so dumb. But basically, she asked me to lead a small group with her in the spring, knowing everything I was involved in, which is actually kind of crazy, because, like, would I make that same decision? Probably not, you know? But I kind of remember that, because what she did is we started, she said, we'll do this together, but we'll meet one-on-one every week. And she was the first person outside of like my dad that I can remember sitting down with me one-on-one and teaching me like on my own questions to ask, how to read scripture, how to teach that to someone. And I didn't know this, but basically what she was doing, she was teaching me how to be in scripture regularly, like on my own. And I remember at the end of my freshman year doing that with her. She never put shame on me. She was honest with me. She would tell me if I was being dumb, but she never like made me feel small or like shame over the sin I was actively in. But she put me in scripture. And at the end of my freshman year, like dawned on me, like I knew the Lord, I was his, I was saved, but my life was not depicting that. And I couldn't tell you what I was reading, but it was like that moment of I have to live a life that honors the Lord. Like I have to quit this other thing. And honestly, like through that, like it led me to really love that. Like my favorite part of college was leading small groups and teaching people truths of scripture, even when I had no idea what I was saying. You know, like as a sophomore, gosh, sophomores are hilarious. They like think they can run the world, right? And that was me. I was like, I love Jesus. I got my Bible. As Chris Lamoya actually was my college minister at BCM then. Yeah. And so I was like, Chris, I want to do a Hot Topics Bible study. I want to talk about suffering. I want to, and like literally listed all these, they're still hot topics. They never went away.
Yeah.
Like I, as a sophomore who barely read the Bible, could like speak to any of that. You know what I mean? Like, but he let me and we met every week to talk about it. And like, I mean, it really was so cool. And I think that's what like drove honestly, my calling to ministry was like I was giving these chances when I shouldn't have. And loved it. Like I was a math major. I still love math. Don't get me wrong. I always say I love people. I love teaching. I love math. I did not love teaching people math. But I love the Word of God and love teaching that. And so but she was a mentor. And even now, like I was thinking my best friend right now is really speaks life into me. Like even this last year going through like ups and downs, I could cry. I'm literally, my eyes are tearing up thinking about this, but she was my go-to. The amount of times I've cried in her kitchen and she just speaks truth. And I go to her because she's never going to just let my emotions guide her response. Cause I can be emotional, but she will sit there with me. She entered in to my hurt and my burdens. And, loved me, said, sorry, you're having to deal with this. And then always, always pointed me back to scripture. But ultimately, sorry, all that to say, I have to say my dad. My dad, that's why I'm like, it's hard to pick just one. But my dad has been consistent in my life. He's always the one I go to for questions and we talk spiritual things. So he has been a driving force to like continue to do good even when you don't want to. So
That's so good. Okay, what would you say, or what are the things, people, passages, experiences that have helped shape your theology of ministry?
Yes. Well, probably what I just talked about. Honestly, the fact, theology of ministry, is that what you said?
Yes, like what helped you, like when you think of ministry and when you think about even your philosophy of ministry, I think a lot of what I keep hearing you say is that it's not just this like study, but also how do we help people experience Jesus in a very fun, inviting, fresh way? And so what would you say how, because I think earlier before we got on here, she's not a reader. She's not a listener. And so, but we're often shaped by something, you know, and our ministry is absolutely foundationally has got to be shaped by something. And so what would you say are those things that help shape your study of ministry, your understanding of ministry, your philosophy of ministry as you lead in and out each week with college students?
I think I love that you included people because I really have to say that is the number one thing. You know, we're told not to neglect to meet with each other. And I am a product of people not neglecting to meet in the church, but also to pour into me. I think of, I talked about Shelby, a mentor in college. Like I try so hard with college students now in ministry or anyone, even when I'm talking to women of the church, you know, because when you work in the church, you're not just doing your one little section, you know, it's all encompassing. But when I talk to people, I want them to, like, I don't want to put shame on them. I want to be honest. I want to be truthful. I want to, like, point out if there's sin. But ultimately, I want to put them in Scripture.
Yeah.
Because that's how the Lord used me. It's like, mm-hmm. He put people in my life who put me in Scripture. And Scripture will do the work every single time. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I am a person of many words. I know this. But at the end of the day, my words don't matter. It's God's word. And so I try.
Yeah.
That has shaped me and how I do ministry in every way. Because if there's an issue, okay, let's look to Scripture. Mm. If you're having a hard time, let's look to Scripture. Mm. Even when I'm sharing the gospel with someone, like, when am I, if they're not ready to, like, make a profession of faith, but they're like, I'm interested, I'm not going to sit there and try to convince them anything. I said, let's get in the book of John. And, like, yeah. I was like, if you're really interested, let's read it together. Mm. And I've seen time and time again, just by putting them in the word, it's sometimes short, sometimes long, over years, they make professions of faith. Because
so
Scripture is what built, like, that's what we're given to cling to of God's word. And so that, but also a lot of people gave me chances, like,
yeah.
And so I want to give people chances.
Mm-hmm.
Freshman Hannah should have never been asked to lead a small group. You know, I think when I graduated college, I should have never been asked to join in ministry jobs. Like, there are just so many, and I was giving these opportunities over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And given the freedom to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love. Like, mm-hmm. I had bosses and people around me who really, like, put me in positions to do things mm-hmm. that maybe the world would not, even the Christian world would say, mm-hmm. I am not built to do. I don't have the life to do that. I don't have the history. I don't have any of these things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they put me in, and then they gave me the freedom to make mistakes,
yeah.
to figure things out, to own it when it happens, but to get back up, put my eyes on Jesus, and try again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that philosophy, that theology, I guess, has really shaped. And obviously in that, I have read books, I should say. And I do like a good, like, Christian book. Like, I have read a ton of them, but it's not necessarily, like, a habit regularly of mine. Maybe I should, you know.
In this season, it's not.
Yeah, this season. This is not a season for that for me. My pastor would probably be like, Hannah, it needs to be. Like, okay. And I have started seminary. So, like, building upon that. But at the base level, it's not casting shame, pointing to Scripture, giving people chances.
Yeah.
You know? And I think you could see that in Scripture. That's how even God, like, used throughout the Bible. He pointed out sin. He convicted. Yes. And then he, like, spoke to them,
mm-hmm.
and then he gave them chances time and time again. And so I think there's a lot to say of, like, a repentant heart and to keep going forward.
But I love that so much, because I think your ministry is definitely to pull that person in,
mm-hmm.
and to teach them and to disciple them in the word and the way of Jesus. But then there's a greater community, and it's the church.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Just this ministry of also ecclesiology too, that
mm-hmm.
what does that look like as we move people from just, like, sojourners
mm-hmm.
of faith, you know, as people that are coming hopefully
yeah.
to faith by discipling them in the word, but also there's a greater good.
Yes.
And it's the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
It's the community.
Yeah.
And so you get to do that every week.
Oh, listen, this is so cool. God is so good. Woodland Heights is such a good church for college students. Like, they love them so well. And I've said this to the staff regular. I'm always shocked when college students choose to go there, because we don't have, like, the most contemporary worship. We do compare, you know what I mean? But, like, I mean, I am the ideal audience
mm-hmm.
for our worship. Like, give me the choir. Give me the orchestra. Like, let's sing the hymns. And, like, I love it. But I know that's not everyone's thing. But Woodland loves them so well. And one of my top goals, okay, obviously, like, we want to see people know the Lord. We want to see people grow in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see people part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm constantly pushing, like, okay, you're in college ministry, but if you just come here on a Wednesday night, you are not actually part of Woodland Heights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not. Like,
yeah.
That's not the body of Christ. It's everyone. And so I'm so fortunate to see. I would think probably over half of our college students are serving in kids, in youth, in choir, and, like, all these, they're actively also serving, and they're getting around the older people, the
yeah.
younger people, you know, and that's something I push because I think it's vital. Because, you know, college ministry, even in the church, like,
it's 4 years.
It's 4 years, you know, like maybe five, maybe six. But like it's...
there are tickets of laps around the sun.
It happens to the best of us. But like the church is forever.
Yeah.
Like forever, forever. Like we're going to be in heaven with the church, you know. And while you're in Conway, you should be like whatever local body you're a part of. Like that is your local body. And so I think it's really cool to see that they are invested in it, and Woodland Heights welcomes it. Like, they welcome any area, college students, like, serving in this area. They thrive on it. They want it. Mm-hmm. And so that is cool.
That is cool.
It is really cool.
Kind of going back to something you kind of alluded to earlier, walk us through your call to ministry and, like, how the Lord brought you into that season, and then even, like, the different roles that you've had along the journey to where you are now.
Okay. And I'll kind of skip ahead because I talked about how loving stuff in college really helped. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this. I remember one time sitting in Chris's office and I was like, as a sophomore again, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing? I love so much this stuff. Like, I could care less. I was like, do I need to change my major? Do I need to change schools? Like, what do I do? Like, am I called to ministry? Like, what can I even, honestly, I was like, what can I even do as a woman? Like, what does that look like? You know? And he didn't answer any of my questions. What a little punk. But he couldn't have, you know, and he gave me this advice, which I hated at the time, but now I use it all the time. He said, Hannah, you have to pray, seek the Lord, and do your best to take a step in the direction he thinks he's leading you. The worst possible thing that happens is you misstep and you redirect when he points it out. And I was like, now I'm like, gold. Then I left mad, you know, I was this doesn't tell me anything. So I was like, nope, not for me, obviously. Like, didn't take his advice, didn't really pray about it, nothing, but I just assumed, not for me, I'm going to be a math teacher. Senior year, less than a month from graduating, I don't know how to explain it, but I was in a worship service and it was like hitting a brick wall. And it's like the Lord brought me all the way back to 2 years ago in that moment. He's like, you misstepped. And I was like, ugh.
Whoa.
What do I, like, what do I do with this? I was married. I got married right before my senior year. So I go home, and this is a no-no for Zach, but I did it anyways. I wake him up and I'm like, he's like, no, Hannah, this could work tomorrow. I'm like, it really can't. And so he gets up. I said, I think I may be called to full-time ministry. And he looked me dead in the eyes and said, you just spent 4 years to become a teacher. And I was like, I know this. Yeah. He was like, he honestly handled it so well. He was like, well, let's give it a month. That's what he gave. Let's pray about it. Let's seek counsel. Let's read scripture individually and together. So we started doing that. And in that month, I graduated. But also in that month, my church offered me a part-time job doing children's ministry, and the BCM reached out and offered me a part-time job with them doing ministry at Hendrix. And there was like affirmation after affirmation from people, from scripture. And even Zach, one point, he looked at me, he's like, I think we would be disobedient not to like say, yes, this is what the Lord's calling you to. So for the first several years of ministry, I worked two part-time jobs, children's ministry at Harlan Park, and college ministry with the BCM. That was a wild ride because those are not either like actually part-time jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was just thinking about this.
Yeah. Like I would spend the day with BCM and spend my evenings at church preparing things for kids, you know? And I had a lot of help in both. It wasn't, but like quickly, I mean, I can't remember how many years I did that, but me and Zach started praying, like, this is not sustainable. It's not good for our marriage. We never see each other.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to do part-time again. Also, at some point in there, I started being the financial secretary for my church. And I know I said this earlier, but I should never be that person. Like, I could do it. Like, I'm capable. I hated it. Like, you know, I was like, luckily QuickBooks makes it semi-easy, but like, don't ask me to do your taxes ever again. I'm waiting for the day that's 7 years to pass because then I'm clear. But I did the best I could, you know, like honor the Lord. But did I do it right? I have no idea. So like I held that job. I even did some like random in the summer work for the state convention here. Like they used to do this. I don't remember what they called it, but people would apply for summer internships. Churches would apply for summer interns. And I was like helped with that, helped point people together and mentor the girls and like go and promote it and stuff like that. So it's like kind of these oddball, whatever the Lord put before me, I was like, yeah, let's try it. But eventually the Lord gave me an option to work full time with the BCM. And that was a real big answered prayer. Me and Zach had been praying for that. And that was really awesome, honestly. And then through that, basically at one point, me and Zach had agreed never two jobs again. We're never doing that again. It was horrible. But Ryan, my boss at the time, came to me. He's like, hey, there's a church in town looking for a college minister. He's going to call you. And he's like, you need to consider it. And he goes, it'd be part-time. So you'd work full-time here and part-time there. And I immediately go, Ryan, teach me how to respectfully say no. Like, how would you do that? Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, first off, you need to hear him and you need to actually pray about it. And I was like, yes, of course, obviously, in my head, still thinking respectfully no.
Yeah.
But then Larry White called me. And as he told me, and I was like, they at the time were doing Sunday nights and Wednesday night. Like there was, I was like, listen, I already am taken away on Monday nights for BCM. I like a lot of times Tuesdays and Thursdays too with events. I was like, I can do Wednesday nights because I would be at the church anyways. I cannot do another night. And he said, that's great. And I was like, and I have to prioritize time with Zach. He's like, that's great. Like basically any concern I had, they worked through. And then I had to talk to Zach about it because I actually hadn't told him at this point this was happening. And I trapped him in the car. That was my goal. We were driving to Fort Smith, put him in the car. He can't get out, you know? And I was like, Zach, I have something to tell you. And this is how I knew it was the Lord. I was like, I have been offered been asked to apply for this position. It's part-time. I said everything. And Zach looked at me and he said, I think you need to do this. And I was like, shock. I just dropped my jaw to the floor. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was like, Zach Zirbel is saying yes to this? That is crazy. And so then I did that for 2 years and then eventually got the option to go full-time at church. And I did. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool journey, too.
Yeah. It was a lot of open doors,
mm-hmm.
saying yes.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes I should have said no. Honestly, I don't know. But
just having your yes on the table, yes, like, you just never know what the Lord's going
to
do.
And that's kind of how I want to live. Like, mm-hmm. I want to be able to do whatever he asks me to do. Because at the end of the day, I love college ministry, but I love people. Mm-hmm. And I love people understanding the Word of God.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, whatever the Lord has me doing, I want to do that.
Yeah. That's good. Okay, so let's hear this side of it.
Yes.
How do you and Zach partner together to serve the church?
Yes, okay.
In ministry together.
Love this question because we have not always done this well. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, there's a lot of making mistakes and learning how to do it, especially early on when I was really young and basically the same age as college students. Mm-hmm. I just did everything they did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Zach was not about that, which is fine. Fair. But now that I'm like their mom more than, you know, like it's a lot easier. But we partner together in the church a lot. He helps me with college all the time. Like he is a go-to, sometimes to his delight, sometimes to his demise, but that like will help me move things, get things done, like whatever it takes. But he also is a deacon at our church, mm-hmm. which I think he serves in his own way.
Yeah,
so like, and then I help him in like his role as a deacon and like how he loves people. And so it's kind of that cool, like he gets to be the husband to me, helping me in that ministry with college, but I get to be the wife to him as he is serving like all these people in the church and trying to care for them well.
Yeah.
And so we just try to do those things together. And I try to include it. We try to include each other in everything. So like, he didn't go this last year, but example over spring break, when he's on breaks too, if he can and we can make it happen, he goes on the mission trips with us.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, I'm taking a group to Denver to work with a ministry center there. Zach's coming. He's going to be a part of it. And so we just try as much as possible to do it together. It's not always mm-hmm. possible, and try to encourage each other in that. Just in any way that we can be there at the same time. We do. So
I love that because it is ministry is family ministry. You know, you cannot be siloed in what you give your heart and time to, because then there's just a mm-hmm. disconnect that happens and just naturally will form over time. So that's awesome. So tell us, and for the women that are listening mm-hmm. here that want to pour into the younger generation in their church but really don't know where to start, how would you encourage them? What are some tips, mm-hmm. practical things that they could do to pour in?
Mm-hmm. This is going to seem really basic. Like, I wish I could be like, a step-by-step, do this. This is what college students want. But I think a lot of recently, like in the last year, I was reading Thrax, and I think it's chapter 3. This is about salvation, but it's like, come to the Lord so that you can have times of refreshing in the Lord's presence, basically. And so be a person that it's refreshing to be around. And you can only do that if you're spending time in the Lord's presence. Yeah. And like, as the Bible says in multiple places, meditating on the word, living a life of holiness and honor to him as best as we can. And like, but like, be a person. And that, I don't mean that as like a personality trait. I don't mean that as like sweet, calm, loud, fun. Like, I don't care who you are, how God made you. But if your time with the Lord and you spend with him in his presence, you're going to be refreshed and you can be refreshing for other people. And younger women are craving that. Like, they want to sit with women who are refreshing and pointing them to the word. They may not say it, they may not ask for it, but they're yearning for it. And I constantly am pointing college students to women that I know are that in my church and who are going to speak life and speak honest and welcome them into their lives because I can't do it all. You know, you have 40, 50 girls in a room. Like, I'm college students specifically. That's not even including the young adults or the youth, you know, or even people my age. Like, I want that, you know. I'm one person. I'm not capable of that. But as a body of believers, I think that's the point, is we can do it together. So my advice is, be a person that's refreshing, that, and by that, spend time with the Lord so that you can spend time with others in that. But then too, like, enter into their space. I hear a lot of people say, it's intimidating. And I think that's hilarious because, at least in my experience, most college students are the most forgiving people ever. Like, they just want to be with you. And so enter into their space, invite them into your space. Like, if you're going to feel awkward, feel awkward. Like, wait, I do every day of my life. Like, you know, I live in a state of awkwardness. And you know what? Like, God uses it. So, like, my advice is, be a person that's refreshing and enter into their space. And, like, don't be afraid to go talk to them on a Sunday morning. Walk over and say hi. Like, teach them, like, by modeling what good hospitality looks like. Not just saying hi, but maybe even go sit down with them. Like, maybe, like, a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, we had a women's retreat, and a college student and an older adult woman, like, connected. And then the next three Sundays, they sat together on Sunday morning. You know, that kind of stuff. It's like, be willing to go beyond just a hi and during their space. I know that's simple. That's not much, but it goes a long way.
Good. That is so good. Okay, well, this has been such a great time with you. I feel like we have learned so much about you, just what your life looks like, what ministry looks like day to day. And just we get to peer into just the role of oftentimes like a misunderstood ministry, you know? And I love the way that you're able to like disciple them in the Word of God, but also just showing up exactly where they are, meeting them where they are, but also knowing that we've saved space for you, you know, to work out just whatever it looks like on their journey of faith. So it's been awesome. And I love the way that you love your church so much and the way that they received college students so well. And not just college students, I think any person, obviously, they truly do love people and want to be a place for others to find that rich community there.